Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back to Throw Rock Paperback. I'm one of your hosts, Charles Sheeland.
And I'm the other host, Asia Bonilla. We're back this week finishing the first book of the Inkheart trilogy, Inkheart. And these readings are very long, especially compared to reading a whole book in a week, even though you would think it would be the other way around, but these books are a lot larger, so it's just a lot more material. So it's been a lot.
Yeah, I've been feeling that too. The readings feel long. I have other feelings in the readings, but I think we'll save that for the end. As we tell you every single week, we are a book club podcast with the Nerd Party Network, and we read and reread YA books from our adolescence. I suggest this book because it is kind of a classic of young adult literature, but actually neither of us has read this before, so you are getting both of our real-time reactions to this book.
And yet somehow I've gotten stuck on summary duty, but that's okay. But we'll just dive right into the second half. So we have Meggie and Finolio come up with this plan for Meggie to read an alternate ending so that the shadow takes out Capricorn, not Dustfinger or Reza. And it is then revealed that Reza is Teresa, Meggie's mother. And all of the characters converge in Capricorn's village and the whole plan comes to fruition. And our protagonists, in the end, all go to live with Eleanor, but Fareed and Dustfinger steal the book, Inkheart, and run away. And the Magpie and Basta escape the Purge, and that's that. So the second half was definitely better and more interesting, but I still don't really understand where the series is going. Like, I don't know, maybe this is like a thing of fantasy novels. Maybe where it's like we're just kind of in the story, but like there's no goal. Like maybe Charles can comment on that. But I just feel like I'm still not really sure like what we're going for in the book. Like I don't see like what is the conflict that they're going to overcome, which maybe there isn't one, or not that there is one, but it's not presented like this early on. I don't know.
So actually that kind of proves that we don't pre-plan these too much. Because my impression was the same as yours, in that I don't know what's going to happen in the next book. And I'm not saying I need to know exactly what's going to happen, but I truly have no idea what's going to happen. And I would honestly believe anything at this point. So as for like commenting on whether that's a rule in fantasy, I don't really think so.
Not a rule, but maybe like just more common?
I don't think so, because if you think about it, like Harry Potter, classic fantasy, young adult fantasy. I'm trying to think of like young adult appropriate fantasy.
Think of something else. Harry Potter's too high on
it's
the
too good.
Pole.
Okay, Lord of the Rings, classic. You know that at some point...
Isn't that really good too?
Yeah.
Think of like mediocre. I don't know. I mean, even just like... some of the more fantastical books that we've covered so far on the show, I guess for me, I'm just, spoiler alert, I'm still not really enjoying the series in the sense of, for me, I just feel like there's nothing drawing me in. Like there's nothing making me want to keep turning the page, wanting me to like, oh, I have to get my hands on the next book. Like we finished reading this book a couple days ago and I'm not really looking forward to starting the next book because like Charles just said, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like not even, I mean, we'll talk about at the end what we're assuming is going to happen, but I guess it's just like, there's no hook. Like there's nothing reeling me in right now.
That's how I feel like too.
I've been going through the motions.
I've been reading my knitting murder mysteries because I finished this reading before you. And so obviously we wait to record until we both finished. So in the meantime, I blazed through a whole knitting murder mystery in like 2 days because I like that book I cannot put down.
Yeah.
And I even read Rachel Maddow's book Drift, which is about the U.S. military like becoming completely too privatized. And even that I was like way hooked on. I mean, that's nonfiction, but this book I've been dragging myself
through. Well, we won't harp on it too much. We'll do that at the end of the episode. But I think we'll go ahead and dive into the plot.
Yeah. So, yes, I think you're right. So we start with Basta taking Maggie and Finolio to Capricorn, and we find out that Mortula, the evil head servant, is actually Capricorn's mom, and she's just as evil as him, and she loves how evil he is. And as Asia already alluded to, her nickname is the Magpie.
And Maggie reads out loud this one time with Finolio, and while they're like imprisoned, and she discovers that she has the same power as Mo because she's able to bring Tinkerbell out of Peter Pan and bring her to life. So Maggie did ultimately get her wish that, you know, she wanted to have the same power as Mo, but now Capricorn can use her. So again, a very stupid wish, but again, she's only 12.
Well, we didn't even discuss that last week. When we talked about it, we were talking about how the wish was selfish and cruel to have the power. But we neglected the important fact that you just mentioned, that like Capricorn can now use her to read things. Like, we were saying the power was just like intrinsically not that great, but we're forgetting that like it also can be used for evil. So yeah, that was a realization. I was like, oh no, she's going to be used to kill people.
Just another reason why it's a not very smart thing to be desiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we should make it, in case we didn't mention this last episode or we weren't clear, Darius, who's the previous reader, he can read things out of books, but because he's bad at it, he creates deformities or imperfections. So Raisa, who is the Dustfinger's spy, she's mute, so she can't speak, because when Darius read her out of Inkheart, he's so bad at reading out of books that she was basically, I don't want to say defected, because I don't mean to say that people who can't speak are defective, but the word I think in the book is deformities, which even then is not really that like PC anymore.
She came out different than she was before.
She came out differently than she was intended. Yes. And as we're going to find out in a second, as she was before.
Yes. And so as soon as Maggie actually sees Risa, whatever, however you say it.
It should be Risa, because it's like Teresa.
You mean Teresa?
Pretty sure it's, well, again, I'm going German.
Well, it is a German book, Teresa, so I have no idea. English, also, so we have already established.
Names either way, don't it should be the abbreviation. So if it's Teresa, then she should be Risa, I guess. Ugh, whatever.
Anyway, Maggie's mom, she finds out that she immediately, go back. As soon as Maggie sees this lady, Risa, whatever, she is immediately thinking that it's her mom because she has seen photos of her from Mo. So she does a general idea of how she looks. I mean, they describe how,
whatever you want to call her is fine.
Risa now has dark hair, and Maggie's mom like had blonde hair. So I think that has to do with like her going into the story. She has darkened hair now. So she looks a little bit different, but like it's obviously still her. And at this point in the story, which this was like pretty early on in the second half of the story, I was like, okay, if this is her mom, that does make the story way more interesting.
Well, I'm glad you found something to latch on to.
I mean, it wasn't much, and once we found it out, it was kind of over, but, you know, at least there was something.
Yeah, you're right. While they're in prison, Maggie gets confirmation, like you said, that she can read, because she reads Tinkerbell out, and Basta, unfortunately, finds this out, and so that's why he tells Capricorn, blah, 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 and now Capricorn doesn't need Mo. He's going to use Maggie to read the shadow out, which was Asia's prediction from last week. Well done, Asia.
I know, I'm amazing. Moving on.
Okay. And then through some sleuthing and seeing, Maggie does figure out that Risa is in fact her mother, Teresa. Thank God we can go to Normie now. But she did lose her ability to speak.
I think Risa sounds cooler. Like, that's a cooler name. What do you say? Risa? That's awful.
I was saying
Risa. That sounds like
because
she's going to go go win a race. She's
race a child.
She's a car. I don't know. I just don't like that. I like Reza. That to me is like a name. I feel like the other ones are like made up, or it's like clear that it's like taken from something else.
All names are made up. Anyway. Interestingly, though, Dustfinger has actually already figured this out. He knows who she is, and he doesn't feel badly about it because he feels like Mo owes him for reading him out of the story. So he feels like if he can convince Teresa to fall in love with him, it's okay because Mo, like, read him out of his life. Obviously, it doesn't work, but I just thought it was fascinating that she included that bit because that Dustfinger thought about it and decided he doesn't care that she's married to someone else.
I mean, Dustfinger basically has nothing to live for, so not surprised.
True.
But before we keep going, I did want to discuss a little bit about Finolio's master plan, which, as we know, on Throwback Paperback, we care a lot about world building. And for me, I just am trying to understand how this magic is going to work, so I need more of an explanation, which, just to be clear, we did not get. So another strike against this book so far. But basically, Finolio is able to write a new story for the Tin Man, and Meggie turns it into reality. Like, she reads this aloud, he writes this whole new story. But I'm just like, how does that work? Because the Tin Man wasn't from a book Finolio wrote. Like, this is just some random book, and he just wrote him a new story, she read it aloud, and it happened. So does that mean, like, the person who writes down the words has to be an author specifically? Or then essentially, if it could be anyone, couldn't Meggie just write down what she wants to happen and read it aloud and it'll just happen? Like, I just don't understand, like, what the rules are of her powers.
Yeah, we don't get an explanation because... So what I'm leaning towards is I think that it has to be... I don't know how to say this. I think that it has to be an author is probably what was intended. That it has to be someone who is like a poet with words, someone who is intentionally storytelling. However, that's very hard to define. How do you tell that my grocery list is not...
Okay, but that's even a little bit better, because that's a better explanation, because essentially, because she could write down, I have $100 in my pocket. Is $100 going to pop out? If you're saying that it has to be like descriptive, well-written language, no, that's exactly not how that would
but
work.
But we have not gotten...
You would have to like tell a story.
Yes. Yes. Maybe it has to be fictitious. Like, maybe it has to deal with fictitious characters, because everyone that... It's not like any of the events have affected people who are... Any of the events have affected... are real life people, you know? Obviously, they've been sucked into the story, but they've all been made up characters. So maybe the things that can come out don't have to be fiction. So whereas, like, I have $100 in my pocket, while that is not true yet, is about me and therefore, like, wouldn't apply. Again, we don't know though, because what we've gotten in the book so far is anything that's written down, Meggie can read into reality. At least because she's only read things out, and she's always been successful. So we don't know. So basically, to your point, yes, the world building is incomplete. We don't know the rules of her powers. And that is one of the things that bothered me a lot about it, because unless we're going to get some clarification, which I think we'll talk about a little more at the end, so far it really feels like, or at least we don't know anymore, then Meggie can just read whatever she wants.
Yeah, that also really bothers me, because at that point, it's like she just has limitless power, which I feel like...
I agree.
This is obviously fantasy, but it's just like, I don't know, to me, it's kind of
lazy. Fantasy has to have a reason. Like, fantasy has to have a reason.
Otherwise, it's just like, what's the point? Like, it's just so unrealistic at that point. So, also, I mean, does Mo have the exact same ability? Like, I don't know, I feel like we read, what, like 600 pages, and we didn't get a single explanation on this. Like, does that bother anyone else? Like, I just...
It bothers me. Yeah. Okay, let's move on because I think we'll talk about it. I want to talk about it a little more at the end. You'll see. But so we have another instance of adults being stupid, which was a big theme of last week. So when Maggie is in the meeting, she's meeting Raisa and Dustfinger. Dustfinger manages to trick Basta into getting into the cell and lock him up. So one, Basta, moron. And two, Raisa and Maggie are like looking at each other and they're so intense that they like forget to run away. So then they get caught again. And I was like, if Dustfinger made a getaway, y'all could have also made a getaway. Like, it was so stupid of them.
Yeah, I wrote down here that I felt that Dustfinger definitely should have killed Basta. But yeah, either way, a lot of the adults are being stupid. And I'm kind of like, as we're going along and there's just all these idiotic adults and there's really, Maggie's the only child character. I wonder if this is supposed to like, maybe this is like how kids look at adults. Like, this is how they imagine adults acting. Like, I don't know. To me, I just don't understand why. Why the adults make such stupid decisions.
I'm wondering if it's maybe a theme in Cornelia Funke's work, because two of the books, the two other books of hers that I've read, I'm not saying the adults are bad people, but it's definitely the characters are children and they have a strong skepticism of adults. So I'm wondering if maybe she just likes to write moronic adults.
Well, another strike against the book of things I'm not interested in. things that make no sense. Especially yeah. When your most mature character is 12 years old. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Here's another example of an adult being a moron. Eleanor going to the police. Sweetheart, the character, the villain, the person that you're going to have arrested was read out of a piece of fantasy literature. And you're going to report him to the police?
Honestly, that was one of my favorite parts of the book because I didn't know what was going to happen. So it was kind of nice that, like, we got a little surprise there because I was like, she's going to go to the police. What are they going to do? Oh, he's in on it. Like, that was a nice little side story from the rest of the blah, 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 blah.
She was supposed to be the smart one and she just gets herself captured.
And then one that made me extremely angry is when Fareed and Mo sneak back to Capricorn's village to basically, like, they have their own plan. Like, they're gonna set Capricorn's house on fire to, like, cause a distraction. And Mo ends up seeing Maggie as she's, like, being led to, like, read the book. And they, like, put her in this dress and everything. And she's obviously sad and scared. She's a 12-year-old girl who's been taken away from her father and has been imprisoned. And he, Fareed, this little kid, or teenager, I guess, has to literally physically hold him back because he, like, wants to go and try to do something with Maggie right in that moment, which is literally going to ruin their whole plan. Like, I understand seeing Maggie being led to, like, do this execution party is a lot, and it hurts him. But, like, if he reveals himself, then they aren't going to be able to save her. Like, what kind of, like, irrational thinking is that? Like, talk about impulsive. Like, how old is this man? Like, 15?
No, Mo's gotta be.
I was being sarcastic.
I just realized that halfway through.
He's at least in his 30s, could be pushing 40 with a 12-year-old, and he is acting like a 15-year-old, acting younger than Fareed, who's like, buddy, do you want to complete the plan or not? Like, you want to just give ourselves up? Also, I cannot.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, like we said, it feels like Maggie and Finolio are the only ones that are, like, actually thinking well. And speaking of Finolio, his plan works beautifully. He manages to sneak Maggie the new ending for the Shadow, in which the Shadow kills Capricorn.
And I will admit that it was sweet that Maggie didn't actually have to, like, read the part where Capricorn gets killed because Mo gets there right in time to read that, like, new final line so that she can kind of hold on to her innocence, which I did think that that was, like, a nice touch.
Yeah, I like that they read it together. Like, I liked when I was writing in my notes, I was like, Mo and Maggie save the day or whatever I wrote down. But I was like, I like that. Well,
especially
the two of them,
because Mo doesn't have any innocence left. He's just completely incompetent. I just cannot. Like, I literally hate his character so much. Like, talk about the most incompetent father on earth. Oh my God. Like, when Teresa comes back, she's going to be like, what did you do? What did you do to our daughter? She's going to leave him for Dustfinger just because he's so pitiful.
Oh my goodness. He's just a hard one to please. Okay. So, yes, I will agree that it was sweet. But as soon as the shadow comes out, I was like, did someone go into the book? Like, remember, something has to go in each time and has to match. And so if something that's big and alive, like the shadow comes out, a person is going to go in. Turns out it was Finolio. And then none of them care? Like, they're basic. Mo is like, it's too much of a risk, and it's not that bad of a world anyway, as long as he stays away from Capricorn.
Mo got his wife back. That was his life goal for the past 10 years. That's all he could go for. Like, we said,
I literally was in shock when I read that part. They were like,
Finolio disposable.
We can't do anything for him. I was like, doesn't he have a family too? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think Maggie said something about, like, his grandchildren, and they were like, well, they're lost. Like,
I literally was like, this is not happening right now.
But, yeah, they kind of, like, thought about it for a second. They're like, well, there's nothing we can do. And then the end of the book. Well, they are. It's a bunch of incompetent adults and one little 12-year-old who all of a sudden has his power. So if anyone's going to get Finolio out of the book, it's her.
Well, also the problem is that, like, every time you read someone out, like, someone else might go in, so you might be creating an endless feedback loop. But I was like, seems a little cruel to be like...
Well, that only happens if they're within, like, a certain distance, I feel like, is what...
Yeah, maybe you should just go, like, on a mountain and read by yourself.
I guess maybe you could get sucked into the story, but probably not.
I don't think that... We don't know how it works. We have not gotten the rules of the magic.
There are no rules. The rule book has not been presented at all.
And so that leaves us with some unfinished or unanswered questions. So Basta and Mortola, they don't get killed, or they don't vanish when the new ending is read. We don't know why. And they make a getaway. And I did like this line. Dustfinger says, Basta did not die, which was really annoying. I thought that was a cute line. So, but the two of them escape, so I figure they'll somehow figure into the next book, maybe. And Dustfinger ends up stealing Inkheart, which makes me think that those must be in the next book. Basically, like, stolen Inkheart, maybe getting Finolio back, I would hope. Basta and Mortola. But right now, like, the ending of this book, if we... Like, I'm fine. You know, I don't feel like I need to continue with these characters, and I don't feel like I've been set up for something else. So, why don't you finish, and then I'll say what I mean.
Yeah, my main question, or the only other question I had to add to that was, also what happens at the end is the shadow, who's the, like, monster that kills Capricorn, part of the story was that at the end, so that they didn't have to deal with the shadow just being there, he, like, melts away into, I guess, like, as a shadow, he, like, consumed people, basically, and they became a part of him. So they, like, were able to come back to life. All these people he had consumed got to, like, reappear like they'd woken up from a dream, basically. So it was, like, a bunch of, like, trolls and fairies and, like obviously fantastical creatures. And now they're just set in the real world with no home. And I know some of them stay in Capricorn's village, like, what's left of it. And then some of them go back to live with Eleanor. But, like, what are they going to do with all these fantastical creatures? Like, what happens if the government finds out about these people? Like, what? So, I guess maybe we'll get that in the next book.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
And then... the final thing that we get, like, at the very end of the book, I believe, is that Maggie kind of, like, makes this, like, I guess she has a new dream, basically, and a new goal that she wants to learn how to write stories. So, basically, kind of how we were talking before, she's basically going to become an author so that she can read aloud things that she's made up that won't hurt anybody. So, like, I think, like, what Charles explained, hopefully that's what the kind of rules are. The idea of you can't just, like, write anything down. It has to be, like, obviously well written. So, like, if Meggie becomes, like, a good author, so, like, able to paint a picture basically with her words and tell a really tell a story, then she'll be able to read aloud things that she's created. But again, we're not sure if it has to be fictional or if she could write about, like, real people.
Yeah, so that's where that's because of that line of Meggie being like, I want to write my own stories to read aloud. That's what makes me think that that's what the ramifications of the parameters of the power are. Basically, because Meggie can, because she wants to make up her own stories, that makes me think that they can only be, like you said, images painted with words, like, that are so vibrant that they can be drawn out of the book. Like, that's the kind of thing that you can read aloud rather than just, like, a grocery list. However, we have...
Imagine if you're just, like, eggs.
I mean, that would be more practical anyway.
Bread.
Than drawing glass soldiers out of thin air. But what I would like to say is that Meggie has still missed the crucial point that if you are around someone when you read aloud, they are in danger of vanishing. So I don't care whether she can write pleasant things or not. You don't get to read aloud. Like, you don't get to read aloud.
Well, she's still 12, so she's not seeing the bigger picture. I would assume is the point of that.
I guess. Okay. I have one comment on the reason I feel unsatisfied with this, or I feel satisfied with the ending. Do you have something you want to say before I wrap it up?
You're saying you feel satisfied with the ending?
I feel satisfied in that I don't want another book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That
because
okay. You go first.
To me, it feels like this book we could finish and be done with. Now, of course, we have characters stranded in another book, and we have a couple of the characters that are kind of floating around our world, but they don't necessarily feel like they're a threat to, like, Eleanor and Boston. They don't feel like they're a threat to Eleanor and Meggie and Mo's life.
Being, like, core character family.
And, like, if you told me that the next book focuses on Basta, Dustfinger, Mortola, Finolio, I would be like, okay, I believe that. But also, if you told me that the next book focuses on a completely new cadre of characters that Meggie reads out of a completely different book, I would also believe you. Like, if Meggie picked up Lord of the Rings and she starts reading out elves, like, and that's what the next book was about, like, I would also believe you because there's no connection. Like, I don't feel that there's any setup for the next book at all.
It's like the exact opposite of Divergent. Like, we were at one end of the spectrum there. Now we're on the completely other end. Like, is this a series?
Like, what do you mean?
As in, with Divergent, there was no ending. It was like, it was one.
Oh, yeah, the first two books were one book.
Whereas now, and then the third book made no sense. Stands alone so well on its own. You're like, is this even a part of a series? I mean, it's kind of like The Giver.
I mean, we'll see how the next book feels.
Yeah.
Though I will say, I think I enjoyed the story better than the individual books in The Giver.
Well, The Giver, only the first book was good, and then, was it the last one? With the girl
only the first
up.
Third of the last one. Then, yeah, but what I mean, like, again, maybe the next book will knock our socks off and feel connected. I will say, like, I didn't hate this book. It's not like some of the books we read where, like, again, Percy Jackson, I was like, I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And, like, Messenger, we finished that book, and I was like...
But the Percy Jackson was too long. It was too many books. I feel like if it would have been a trilogy, I wouldn't have gotten to that point. It was, like, the fourth, fifth book. I was like, we're doing the same storyline for the fifth time?
Yeah, the problem was that there was the same storyline every time. And
which,
like,
if the next book is just like this one, I'm not gonna make it. This book was way too long. Percy Jackson's what, like 300 pages?
I have no idea. Also, what I like, I feel like I don't know how to say this. I enjoyed reading this one more than I enjoyed reading, like, Messenger. But I'm still don't...
No, because Messenger was, like, 100 pages.
But like, I'm saying, like, the actual, like, story and, like, at least I have feelings about this one. Like, Messenger, I was like, okay, we're done. Like...
It's too long. I'll say, I also just, I mean, I just really don't like any of the characters... I mean, I think I mentioned this in the last episode, and I think
like for me, like,
it's really, what'd you say?
I like Fareed. He's my favorite character.
Yeah, Fareed is...
Because he's sassy.
Is okay. I just, and I think for me, it's really hard for me to enjoy a book if I'm not feeling connected to any of the characters. Like, to me, I just feel like all of the characters are, like, questionable, bad in some way, whether I think they're stupid or I think they're... don't have the best intentions. But I'm thinking, like, okay, let's just talk about Mo for a second.
I feel like you just don't like Mo.
I want to explain, I think, why I have such an issue with him, which I, like, touched on briefly, I think, on the last episode of, I think the reason why Mo's getting the most hate is because, to me, like how I said, he's incompetent. Like, he's incompetent as a parent, which to me is, like, unforgivable. And... like, even, like, how I talked about his reaction, like, wanting to grab Maggie and, like, ruin the whole plan, like, it seems almost like a lover, like, a reaction. Like, if you saw your significant other, you'd have that irrational feeling. But this is his child. Like, he should be thinking for what's best for her. Not that irrational, like, you know what I mean? Where it's, like... I wonder, I'm just curious, like, I wonder how, also, maybe it's too, because, again, these adults in this book, like, they're not like us, like, fake young adults who are in our 20s, we have no idea what we're doing, like, to my understanding, like, these are supposed to be, like, established adults in, like, their 30s, 40s, and they have no idea what they're doing. Like, I'm just, like, and it's such an embarrassment. I get the vibe that
none of these adults... have any sort of, like, socialization. They just spend time indoors in books.
Honestly, the best potential for a good character is Teresa, and she doesn't talk, so... she seems interesting.
Well, hopefully like we'll get more of her in the next book for you.
But I don't know what it is, but, like, Mo's, like, the worst character on Earth.
I definitely would like a change of pace in the next book.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I was going to ask you, because the next book is called Inkspell. What's the last book called?
Ink Death.
Okay, so I was going to make a prediction for what I think is going to happen, because, you know, since we have no idea, we can just throw random guesses out. But, like, I think Charles is right. I think Inkspell. I think that Maggie's going to, like, learn how to write, and she's going to, like, cast a spell and, like, bring out either a new story.
But let me throw a wrench in your plan, because... the actual name of the second book in German is Inkblood.
So someone's going to die. Hopefully it's Mo.
And then it's Ink Death.
Well, either way, I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen in the second book. But if it's Ink Death, I mean, there's going to be death. I hope that it means it's going to be a death of Inkheart. Like, they're going to burn the book. Like, they're going to get all the characters to go back in. Like, I'm assuming... I feel like how we're talking about, since we have no idea where the story's going.
I'm hoping that the death is of the power.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the only way that this book could have, like, a happy ending, quote unquote, is they have to lose that ability. Because the reality is, it's not a good power. Like, you're ripping people from their stories. People are getting sucked into books. Like, it's very chaotic, can't be controlled. Like, this is not a power that they want to hold on to for the rest of their lives. Like,
and they can't read aloud. They can't enjoy reading out loud to each other, which is what this book is about. This book is about sharing stories with each other, and they can't do it as a family. Oh, my God.
Is that what the whole moral of the story is going to be like? It's the joy of reading aloud, and they did.
I don't think the joy of reading aloud, but, like, the book is clearly, like, a book for nerds, and that, like, it's, like, a love letter to fiction, and that, like, look how, like, all our main characters just love books so much. And, like, when Mo reads, everyone is like, oh my God, this is the best thing that happened ever.
When they talk about, when they describe, like, Mo reading and they're, like, all sucked in, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like if they lose the power and then they can just enjoy Mo being a good person who, like, can read well, like, it'll be a good ending.
That's the only thing he's good at.
We better hope that happens, because if not, we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's... I'm going to be disappointed no matter what. I'm putting it out here right now. I don't think we can make a comeback after this book. I don't know. I don't think...
We're getting so off the rails.
I mean, you're staying positive, but I just... I mean, as we said, Asia and fantasy aren't the best match as it is. So fantasy with terrible characters, not that exciting of a story. Like, ooh, what do you have going for you?
Oh, God, we are so far off the rails.
So I'll just be powering through till the next series, I think, is my guess. But who knows?
I mean, that's kind of how I feel right now myself.
Maybe next week I'll come in and be like, oh, my God, everything changed. I highly doubt it, but never say never.
Glad you're keeping an open mind.
Maybe Teresa will start talking and it'll be a game changer. And I'll be like, this is the new Twilight for me. New best book. No, absolutely not. Twilight. That's a lie. I can't even joke about that. It's never going to happen.
Okay.
So... With that, we are going to start the next book, Ink Spell, and we're going to be reading, oh God, chapters 1 through 39. So maybe episodes will start coming out bi-weekly because this is too much, but we'll see. Just kidding. That's a joke. Always weekly, every Monday. Subscribe.
Thank you for saying that. Let us know how you feel about it. Just contact us on the... nerdbrain.com/contact. You select our WAC paperback. That'll send us an email. You can tell us how you feel about this reading. And you can get in touch with the network at large on Twitter at @JoinNerdParty or Instagram at @TheNerdParty or Facebook.com/TheNerdParty. I don't even know why. I'm not even going to mention my Twitter because I don't use it. But you can find me on Instagram at @Seashells.
And I'm at Asia Bonilla on TikTok and Twitter and at Asia.Bonilla on Instagram. If you enjoyed this, the episode, not the book, make sure that you rate and review the podcast, because this is great. The book, jury's still out. And as always, share it with your friends and family and everyone you know, anyone who's into reading. And of course, check out the other podcasts on the Nerd Party Network. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss us next week.
Yes. Hit that subscribe. Have a good one. We will see you next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.